T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome to Draft Day 2024. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football. We are the PM team, and we are talking about the Steelers' draft plans for 4 hours today. Maybe we'll get interrupted by an update on what's happening with the Pirates over at PNC Park. But other than that, we are full bore into the draft, and we wake up and go through our routine today with the news that Graham Barton is likely to be the Steelers' 20th pick. That's where all the signs are pointing. You just heard the Duke play-by-play guy and Brian Baldinger, the X's and O's film guru, who is also a Duke guy, talking about this player. It's everywhere. Mel Kiper came out and pretty much guaranteed that if he's on the board at 20, the Steelers will take him, and even said they could move up a couple spots to guarantee Barton. You have Jerry Dulac in the Post-Gazette saying that's the pick. They view him as, quote, a generational talent.
He said some within the building, so I wonder who that person is or persons are that view him that way. That caught my eye, the way that Jerry wrote him up. Do you know anything more on who might be his biggest champions within the building?
Yes, I think the person who sets the draft board for them is Barton's chief.
Okay, so I think that's interesting.
Ally.
I think that's interesting for this reason.
His big advocate.
I think that the person
man who makes the rankings.
The person who makes the rankings, are we allowed to say his name, or are we just pretending that nobody knows?
He has the same
is?
First name as me, but he shortens it.
Okay. So we're playing this game today, Donnie. Apparently this is the day of trickeration here.
It is the draft.
No, I know.
We saw Kevin Costner on draft day trickerate his way to getting everything he wanted and saving his relationship with Jennifer Garner as well. That was
She's
a big part of
that. She's done pretty well for herself post-Ben Affleck with all the credit card commercials.
But so is Kevin Costner. In these movies, he's just with women who are much younger than him and in these shows. And he's just
on
getting it in like crazy.
Right? I mean, good for him. Is his wife Kelly Riley in Yellowstone?
No, that's his daughter.
Okay. I don't
but
know
But the former governor of Montana is into him. And she's
in the show, not in real life.
In the show, yeah. And they get after it.
The former governor of Montana.
Yeah, she leaves the governor post to go to Congress, and she still makes time for Kevin.
And then she enters into a different kind of Congress with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the guy, let's get away from this right now because it's draft day. It's serious talk day. I have a couple of theories on that. If that's who you believe their biggest or Barton's biggest internal fan is the man setting the board, what we all kind of consider the personnel side of their little GM hierarchy here, Omar still being a numbers guy, positional value guy. Here are my thoughts. Unlike last year where, you know, I was like insanely dead set on Broderick Jones, like to an almost unhealthy degree maybe, and ran around the building yelling Broderick Jones in like the Rocky music theme. I do think there are a lot of good players. I think Barton's going to be a very good player. His arms are not that much longer than Kendrick Green's, but he is a much naturally bigger human being than Kendrick Green, which is a good thing. He rocketed up all these boards. The reason that I'm somewhat interested that you feel like his biggest champion within the building is the guy setting their draft board is this. That guy, I think, comes from a place that understands positional value more than most teams do and really drafts accordingly and tries to fill holes accordingly. They see inside linebackers. They say, we'll fill them with random guys. We're going to load up on wide receivers. We're going to try to find cornerbacks. We believe quarterback is important, et cetera. That's not a quarter. That's not a tackle or whatever you're drafting. That's a center. That's a less valued position. But that same guy watched a center be the most important piece of that offensive line that was very good. And so I'm thinking if he is the biggest champion of Graham Barton in the building, he A, must think he is a future all-pro type of player, and B, think that they can get by with the tackles they have for the time being and that they can maybe find another guy and eventually kick Jones over to right tackle at some or left tackle at some other juncture.
If they do this, I'm not going to like the pick.
What would you grade it if they do it?
I wouldn't give it a good grade. I'd probably give it a C.
I was going to give it a B if they do it.
I'm just a B.
And
I understand, like, we have to wait 5 years to grade a pick and see if it's a good pick or not. Could you ever see yourself skydiving? Do you see that
in the cards for you? My sister-in-law did it, and I just said, I don't think I can do it.
How about you, Donnie? You ever think you'll get up there with Sarah in a plane and just
shoot yourself down? She's done it before.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
She loved it, yeah, but I will never do it.
This to me is the draft equivalent of doing that, jumping out of an airplane.
Really? In what way?
He is entirely a projectable player. I don't trust them with projectable offensive linemen, at least in Mims' case, at least with him. He's played it at right tackle. It's not a lot of games, but you can put the tape on from just a few months ago and see what he looks like at that position. You have to go back to 5 games during a COVID season to watch this guy play center. I almost look at anything that happened in the COVID year in any sport as a waste of time because of how wacky it was. Mm-hmm. And I've got generational talent at a position where you can use one hand to count the number of games he's played there. I don't trust them to take someone with almost no experience at a position and make him a great player there. They don't get the benefit of the doubt with me with those guys because of Kendrick Green and others, because of what Kevin Dotson did with the Rams last year. I just don't. If you're going to take a center, and I don't want it to be with the 20th pick necessarily, but give me Zach Frazier because I've watched the dude for 3 years play A-level center.
He's a center and everybody knows
and
it. There's no
really
teaching.
And he's really good at
it. It's just he walks in, he has a high floor, maybe a lower ceiling, but you know he's a center and there's no teaching
and
that needs
good.
To be done.
Yes, he's good at it. He might be really, really good at it. I don't know about this guy. So, I mean, unless Steelers fans, and I'll open up the phone lines now at 412-928-9370, have a different life experience than me where they're not traumatized or scarred by watching them say, yeah, we can take this guy who played another position and make him really good at this one. Unless you trust them to do that, then Barton is your guy. But I don't know how you could. I don't know how you could.
He's not my pick. You know who I want, so I'm not going to belabor it. And you know why I want them to pick the guy, because I don't want them to draft scared. I want them to take a home run swing on a guy I think could be a multi-time All-Pro if he hits his ceiling. There's still projection, and did they develop him? But you know, I think Amarius Mims has every physical tool in the drawer.
To use your baseball analogy, this is like trying to go to
this is
third,
trying to hit an opposite field single.
This is trying to get to third base with one out. You just don't do it. Or two outs. You just don't, right?
No, you never make the first or the third out of an inning at third base.
Thank you. There you go.
I thought you were the baseball guy on this show.
I don't know why I had a brain fart there.
I'm not surprised that you're this harsh on it. I'm surprising myself in this way, that I would still say it's a good draft pick. That might be afterglow from last year.
Do you
where
know
I feel
he
like
can play center?
Here's the difference between Kendrick Green.
No, but just answer that question first.
Do
and then
I
you can
know
get to
that
the...
he can? No. But
well,
here's,
then why
but
would
here's
you
the
like
difference.
It?
Here's the I want them to take Mims and then somehow get Frazier, Pony. Actually, you know what? I'd want them to take Mims, and then if they took Hunter Norzad, who's only played 1 year of center, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with it because I think that Hunter Norzad can start very quickly. I'd even be okay with rolling the dice on the undersized but very high IQ. This guy's fallen completely off the board. Van Pran Granger.
The Georgia center, yeah.
All he does is play center. It's the only position he can play in the pros. He's undersized, but everybody basically says he's competitive, all this stuff. I do think Barton has the tools to be really good. The difference for me in Kendrick Green versus Graham Barton is actually 6'5". They both have shorter arms. He is a naturally much bigger man. He is a guy that and most importantly here, when they drafted Green, what round did they pick him in?
Third.
In the 80s. And we knew back then that not everybody or even a lot of teams had him projected as a center. A lot of teams felt like he's a guard-center tweener, but probably better suited to play guard, an athletic guard, in like a zone-blocking scheme or something, okay? Everybody that covers the draft, for whatever this is worth, Virtually every single person says Graham Barton is an NFL center.
Because he's of his body and build, because of his size.
He's a first-round graded player because we think he can play center in the NFL.
Think being the operative word.
But
I
that
just
is
don't.
A lot safer to me than what they tried to do with Kendrick Green. And then the stubbornness with Dotson, I think, is a Tomlin thing because I think he didn't like that Dotson ran his mouth a lot.
Just because the draft experts say this is what his frame, this is what his body type tells us, this is what he's best suited to play, that doesn't mean that he's going to make a seamless transition to it. I can't endorse something that is going to take them teaching or learning at the NFL level right away.
All right,
I
have another thought for you then. So I'm at least being consistent in saying from a positional value standpoint, I wouldn't love it, but I'm okay with a projection at center. Because my preferred pick is a projection still at right tackle. Basically, the question with Mims is, the first 800 snaps looked very good. Would he have gotten even better, or would he have been exposed as being a little bit raw, whatever, right? But it's still a projection. So, what I need to find out from you today, before we do anything else, is if you had your choice of players who will realistically be there at pick 20, who would you want them to pick?
Give me guys who you think would realistically be there, and I'll try to give you a name.
Faltanu, I don't want to then throw Fuaga, someone. Fuaga, Guyton.
Fuaga, I would take over Barton.
Latham.
I don't think Latham would be a dream scenario, but I don't think he'll be there. Now they're saying the Chargers might even take him with the fifth pick if they can't make a trade.
Mims. You'd rather have Mims, Fuaga, Faltanu.
I'd rather have Fuaga and Latham above all the other offensive linemen because they've played well at right tackle. Very well. Latham was a bigger recruit out of high school than Mims was.
Latham's a massive human being with a big smile.
He was a bigger high school recruit than Caleb Williams. There's huge potential there with him, too, to get better. And they've done it. One dude did it in the SEC. The Pac-12 was shockingly good last year. The other guy went up against Washington's front and Oregon's front and held his own. Give me the guy that he's a right tackle. We need a right tackle. Put Broderick on the left side. Problem solved. No Spencer Anderson at right tackle or asking Dan Moore to play out of position or, God forbid, keeping Dan Moore at left tackle and moving Broderick Jones to right.
Does it make you at all nervous that a lot of people think Fuaga, another guy who's rated more highly than Barton, for example, on a lot of these boards, some people think he could kick inside and that's his best position in the pros.
He could, but we've seen him play great at right tackle for 2 years.
Yeah, we've seen him play great at right tackle, but a lot of people play great at right tackle in college and then still get moved to guard because it doesn't translate to the pros. So that doesn't make you as nervous, though.
No, because I've seen him do it.
Okay.
412-928-9370. Donnie, just give us your quick take here on...
Sorry, Donnie. Mom and Dad are arguing here. You're at the top of the steps.
But I think you agree with me. Why?
I want Mims. You don't want Barton. I want Mims, but I am more at peace with Barton than I would have been last year if they would have taken, say, Paris Johnson.
I guess it wouldn't be fair to hate it outright right away, but I am skeptical of what they can do with this
guy.
Well,
wait a minute. Time out. Why wouldn't it be fair? I mean, people love picks right away. Is it not fair to love a pick right off the bat?
I mean, I guess.
He's a positive guy. You're a negative guy.
Yeah, you know how I always roll with this stuff.
So there's not a pick you'd hate in the first round, just for the record.
Well, no, there are.
Is this one of them?
I wouldn't hate it. Like, it's one of the... And
I can hear voice, though. It's
on the
sliding scale, Donnie, of Donnie
hates
the pick.
He's with me. He'd rather have the other two centers.
I'd rather have
him.
The guys that actually played at least
a
full season
thank
at center.
You, thank
and not
you, thank
one,
you.
I'm very... I mean, I don't want to call
and
out
this is
like
from
the
former center
or the
call
Baldies
out the
of the
experts.
World.
What do they know more than well? Baldy does know more than all of us.
Yes,
but still.
But why has a guy who last played center 4 years ago in a 5-game season all of the sudden become the darling at the position where you have guys that were all conference honorees in both the Pac-12 and the Big 12? Some of them multiple years. I know that Jackson Powers Johnson was a guard before he transitioned to center, but that's at least a little bit closer of a move. And then Frazier, who has played it consistently for the last multiple seasons, why is this guy, who they just project to play center in the league, why is he the darling at the position? Well, and the other guys, I mean, Powers Johnson has turned into persona non grata.
I can answer it from a Steelers perspective. I can't speak for why the draft people feel this way. They see his athleticism in space. They used to pull a center in Pouncey, and he'd get out there and block in space, and they think they can do the same thing with Barton. That
and answers what, the Steelers' question. And what did Pouncey play in college?
Center. Yeah. Not tackle, I'll tell you that much.
Didn't his brother play guard and then play center, though, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, he played inside.
Like, yeah, I'm ultimately
you played interior.
I'm ultimately with you guys, and I think the difference here on the show today is a matter of degree. I still think Barton's going to be a good to very good NFL player. And that's a little bit of a wing and a prayer, but he's not the guy I want. When I read Jerry's column this morning doing the, so the pick will be Graham Barton, I went, ah, crap.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Draft today. In June, it'll be all about one of our great events to help benefit local volunteer fire departments is the 5-Alarm Marathon. 26 hours of live coverage here on The Fan. We're going to raise money for volunteer fire departments, 93.7thefan.com for details, and get your local VFD registered. The 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by 1-800-BOARD-UP, also Hampton Beer Outlet.
I want to work with Zangrilli for an hour.
I want to work with his kid for an hour who came in.
Oh,
Luca
his kid,
today.
Luca, Protect an absolute
your kid to
legend.
Work day.
First of all, if anyone's ever like seen Dan out and about, Dan always very neatly coiffed. He looks like a businessman happening to do radio, which is a compliment. We're like kind of, you know, you have a quarter zip on, I'm wearing a hoodie. His little guy, Luca, who's almost 5,
great
very
hair.
Personable, unbelievable hair, a perfect part. Like just a perfect little businessman's part and a very, very eager talker, very eager to say
anything
and everything.
Even when I brought up his dead pet bunny. By accident.
Yeah, you brought up the bunny. He goes, he's dead. He's gone now, but it's okay.
He said he passed away. He's dead.
Yeah, that's right. He passed away. He's dead. D-E-A-D, dead.
All right, so we are a few hours away from our draft coverage at 6, and all signs are pointing to the Steelers taking an offensive tackle from Duke, who they plan on converting to center, Graham Barton, 412-928-9370, to weigh in with your 2 cents, starting with John in Greensburg. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, so I listen to you guys a lot. I'm in the car, you know, driving home for about an hour every day, so I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Second of all, I wanted to give you a take that what I want to see them do most is really get Mims. I think, you know, Malzi's really on to something there. Get Mims and then trade up in the early second to get our center. I think that's really what they need to do even more than anything else. You know, maybe do the IU stuff if they're going to trade next year's one or something like that. That's what I'd like to see them do more than anything. And last thing for you guys, does anybody start to get the idea that maybe Duloc just puts stuff out there that Rooney wants as a smokescreen all the time? Because I've gotten that idea time and time again, especially when you go back to round one and the Pickett pick.
He said Malik Willis would be the quarterback and that, yeah, Pickett would have no chance
of being the first-round pick. Let's address it here. Do we think that – not that Jerry would do their bidding. I don't think that's the case. But do you think that there is a chance they would tell even the trusted, longest-tenured beat guy something? They know he's probably going to go with it. He might talk to other people. And it could be a smokescreen. This is no knock on Jerry. Every team lies. They lie to their beat writers. That's the whole point of like trying to get as many sources as possible who you think will actually tell you the truth.
Yeah. I mean, so they lied to Kuiper too then? Because that's the other part of it.
I'm going to tell you right now, you better not lie to me. I'm going to take this pumpkin pie and shove it where the sun doesn't shine. It's I got like whipped cream too.
These national draft insiders have started to get on the Barton train too before Jerry even put out his article
Here's the only thing I'm going to say. I was reading back Adam Bittner over at the Post-Gazette did one of those compendiums of who picked who last year as the first round selection. Every single national person got it wrong. They almost all, to a man, like the majority picked Joey Porter Jr. One local guy got it right, Batko, in the print media. And then I got it right too. Congratulations on all my success.
Yes.
But I'm merely pointing that out to say, while I agree with you that it looks very much like it really will be Barton, the national people being all over something does not make it true.
I'm predicting Barton. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, wait a minute, Donnie. Why are we getting worried then? He's predicting Barton. The guy might end up in the sixth round.
Well, that's different from predicting he's going to be a good player or a bad player. People should be excited that I think it's going to be a bad pick because I don't trust the Steelers develop him and use him properly.
What they should feel like is, A, the Steelers won't pick him, and B, he's going to be the next Jason Kelce. You know what? I'm going to plant my flag right now on this, though. I don't think they're going to take him. All signs are pointing. I'm going to stick with Amarius Mims.
Because he's gone? Or because...
No, I think the only team ahead of them...
They're going to pass on him.
I think there's Seattle could take him.
Yep.
And then Dallas, if they love him, could trade up and get him.
Here is Jim next in Atlanta. Hello, Jim.
Hey, boys. How are you
Jim,
doing today?
Hey, Jim. Good haven't to talk heard to you from you in a while.
Yeah, man. Hey, I listen every day. Just try not to bug you too much. Hey, I'm sure Barton's a nice guy. And, you know, if they call his name, though, I'm not going to be happy. First, I mean, a generational talent based on what? I mean, Duke doesn't play, you know, powerhouses week in and week out, number one. Number two, I can't see taking your first pick and picking a guy that you hope, I mean, hope's a good thing if you're Andy Dufresne, but you hope a guy can transition to a center role. I want a guy that's played, you know, his role, you know, a guy can even, worst case scenario, I prefer Mims or Latham, but... I don't want a guy that you just adapt.
Jim, if I'm just going to play devil's advocate, not that I really disagree there, but if I'm going to play devil's advocate and be charitable, I would say, is there a reason, like maybe they saw that he was more valuable as a left tackle to Duke?
Of course, that's why they played him there.
They flipped him out there, but he, you know, they say, hey, he could play center, but we had other guys we thought were passable at center. We needed him at left tackle. He was our best lineman.
That is why he played left
tackle.
I mean, there's no debate about
that. That's the devil's advocate argument here that maybe there's some, the people who watch that COVID film, even though it is not, I agree with you that those seasons are that season is very tough to judge.
It's also 3+ years ago
now. I know. Clearly, I cannot imagine that people who get paid to do this for a living, analyze only the draft, would look at him and say he's a center and not really believe it in their heart of hearts. That's all.
Well, they believe that he can do it, but that doesn't mean we've actually seen a lot of evidence that he can.
I think let me make sure I'm clear on your end of this more than anything. If they had Mike Munchak or even failing that, one of the better O-line coaches in the league, like high-end guys, you'd be good to go with
this. I wouldn't be all in on it, but I'd feel better that change.
So your only argument would really at that point be they didn't take great positional value.
And since Munchak left, they've played guys out of position and they flopped. They haven't gotten anywhere close to the potential or the peak of their talent out of them.
I do think it's reasonable to have a lot of scar tissue from Kendrick Green and then to a lesser extent from Kevin Dotson. Because Dotson at least was like okay here for a while, but then it's more that he exploded in L.A.
Few hours away from draft night here on The Fan. Everyone thinking about the Steelers and what they're going to do at pick 20, but also the big elephant in the room is their wide receiver position and all the rumors out there about trying to solve that with a deal, with a trade. Brandon Ayuk going on Instagram, dancing around, people thinking he's celebrating a trade and a new contract with the team. That got on my radar. And so let's talk to a man who is familiar with the Ayuk situation, probably more than anyone in America. One of the great football reporters of all time from Sports Illustrated, the NFL Network, and now with the San Francisco Chronicle. He's on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I'm talking about Mike Silver. Mike, Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller in Pittsburgh. How are you?
Dude, that's an intro. I like that. You can keep going if you want. Just keep talking. I love that.
Well, I meant it all, Mike, good to talk to you. So we referenced what you wrote on Ayuk a couple days ago Give us kind of the update as things stand right now on the 49ers wide receiver, if you could.
Okay, so first of all, a disclaimer. I'm not one of those, oh, my God, the cap people. Like, mm-hmm. the cap can be manipulated. Like, it's all doable. But if you're the 49ers, you have one more year of this incredible gift, which is Brock Purdy on a rookie deal. In fact, the worst possible rookie deal, given the draft slotting for him. You have this gift where your franchise quarterback is drastically underpaid as per the terms of the 2011 collective bargaining. So you have all these other veteran stars that you are paying and can pay around him, and that's awesome. So really for 2024, they can be all in and they can keep paying everybody, including Brandon Ayuk. He's a homegrown guy. They drafted him. They developed him. He matured. He got better. Was a second-team All-Pro last year. And so, in theory, they would love to kick the can. And he is on the fifth-year option. He would not be thrilled with that eventuality. But they could just say, tough, you don't have that many options. They could pay him. If they do so, I think you're looking at a year from now deciding who you're getting rid of, and they pay a lot of people. They're paying another receiver in Deebo Samuel, top of market, George Kittle, top of market at tight end, fullback Kyle Juszczyk took a little less this year, but is top of market for a fullback, running back, Christian McCaffrey, top of market, and then Purdy will be. So, and left tackle, by the way, Trent Williams. Yep. So that's just on offense. So, you know, if you think that the number is going to be pretty high, and I'm told that Ayuk is looking, you know, into the somewhere between 25 and 30 annual average, which is high, and with Jefferson and Chase looming, that's going to probably seem right to him. And you think you're going to choose maybe Deebo and Kittle over him, and it's time to maybe get a rookie receiver, that's one way of thinking. So they're just kind of assessing, I think, looking at value. It's a receiver-rich draft. Who's there? Who would be there on the clock if they got offered something for him? And would that be the best course of action, all things considered? I think it's more likely they'll keep him and either pay him or they'll have an uncomfortable fifth-year option year where he's unhappy about it and his Instagram features all sorts of things that are not him dancing and maybe have emojis and all that. But realistically, that's probably what they'd like to do the most.
Michael, what do you think they want in terms of draft pick compensation if they do deal him?
That's a great question. And I know they're looking at people in the middle of the draft right now, which they're at 31, but they're kind of looking in that, you know, 10 to 20 range in terms of, you know, taking a closer look at some of the players who might be there that they may not have done quite as much work on, which tells me, you know, teams like the Steelers, the Colts, the Jaguars, who are in that range, theoretically, may be in play. Now, I actually believe, based on my latest information, the Steelers are not in play, but
okay.
we'll table that for a second. Let's, you know, because that can change in a heartbeat, right? All, you know, Omar could send a text to John Lynch right now and all of a sudden they're in play. So if you're the 49ers, I think you're looking at, okay, if we got that pick, who's there? And, you know, the outside conventional wisdom is there are three receivers above the others who are much more plug and play, right? So if you thought you could get Harrison Jr. or Neighbors or Azunde, then you're probably thinking, you know what, they're not as good necessarily as Ayuk now, but, you know, close enough, and that solves our cap situation, and it's going to be messy otherwise and a lot of drama. On we go. If you're in that next tier, which, and there are a lot of really enticing prospects, I think you, for a team in win now mode, you know, it's a harder bridge. But, you know, teams always say, we want a high first round pick, and people trying to make trades always say, they're asking for too much, we'll give them two twos or whatever. There's always a point in the middle where it could get done. I believe if it gets done, you have to lay some groundwork because you got to talk to the agent and have a reasonable idea of what you're going to pay him if you acquire him. But I think if it gets done, it happens most likely when they're on the clock or the team in question is on the clock.
Mike Silver, NFL insider, longtime NFL reporter, now at the San Francisco Chronicles, had the best reporting on Brandon Ayuk over the last couple of days by far. So expand on why you said the Steelers are not in play right now, Michael.
I mean, I was told by somebody who's aware of what's going on Tuesday, early Tuesday, that, the Steelers had not made those kind of overtures. And remember, it's a three-pronged equation. They have to make the overtures to the 49ers, and they, at some point, have to communicate with the agent and get that ball rolling. So based on my information at that time, that ball was not rolling, nor had the groundwork really been laid. But, these things can happen reasonably fast. I haven't followed up on that since. I think the case for a team like the Steelers is, this is the question you ask for a team like the Steelers. Are you desperately trying to win in 2024? The whole thing, everybody says they are, and the Steelers have won so many Super Bowls, but maybe they're building something for 25, 26. I don't know. If the answer is not, we're desperate to win in 2024, wouldn't you rather have the young receiver with upside and a rookie deal to sort that out than a guy you're paying so much, even though he is obviously a very good player and a proven commodity. Everybody has their own evaluations of these receivers, and it's possible that quietly either the 49ers, value one of these other guys outside the top three that much. And it's also possible the Steelers have decided that none of the other people are that great and they could get someone who's pretty darn good. So that's kind of the calculus. Yeah, I think there's a lot of talk about trades and a lot of poking around, and trades happen, but I think you would agree that for the most part, teams end up staying on the clock and just taking someone, and we're all kind of bored by it usually, and I've been in war rooms too, and war rooms can be boring too. It doesn't mean you can't get action. There have obviously been some big, big moves that we all remember before and during the draft, but the 49ers are at 31, and I have this thinking feeling that I'm going to sit in a media room, consume about 90,000 calories, watch TV, and they're either going to take like some boring offensive lineman or trade back and get to like 36, and I'll go home and do it again tomorrow.
I mean, all things considered, not a horrible way to spend a Thursday, Michael.
No, it's a privilege. It's good.
What many of us will be doing otherwise, just in our comfort of our own living rooms. Really quick here, this is more of an opinion for you on Ayuk the player. We've had a back and forth in this studio about how good we think he is. I think Andrew thinks a little more highly of him than I do, but how good is Brandon Ayuk? If a team does trade for him, what are they getting? Are they getting somebody who was propped up a little bit or inflated by that great offensive system, or somebody who was more a core reason why that system works?
That's a great question. That system is built for Debo and him and Kittle, and it really started with Jimmy Garoppolo, the ability to deliver accurate medium-range passes and short passes with run-after-the-catch opportunity, and he's burgeoned into what they hoped he could be, both in terms of maturity and ability. He's a ferocious blocker, which Kyle Shanahan values a ton, and he has a special connection with Brock Purdy, which has some value too. You wonder, is he a guy who has gotten totally mature and once he gets paid is going to try to take it up a notch, or is he going to revert maybe to some of his old habits and be like, maybe I'm just not that into it? That's people around the league wondering. Yeah. As someone who's been around him, I think he's obviously really, really good in that system. Debo Samuel is really a novelty piece that has more value in that system than anywhere else because of his multi-positionality and the things that they've been able to do with him schematically and running the ball they don't really have a true one. If you're looking for a true one, if you're trying to get Davante Adams or Justin Jefferson or Julio Jones in his prime and pay accordingly in terms of compensation and money, that's not, in my opinion, what Brandon Ayuk is. But he's really, really good. He's really close to that. He seems to be getting better. And, you know, with the right quarterback who's really accurate and can get him the ball in the right places, he could be even more special. So as that pertains to the Steelers, it's really intriguing because, you know, he'd be their best guy. You know, Russell Wilson throws a great deep ball. I think he's got potential, Ayuk, to kind of increase his production there. You know, Justin Fields is obviously going to have the threat of the run like no other, and that opens some things up in the middle of the field. So, you know, I don't hate it for the Steelers, but, you know, I also don't know their evals on the other people they could get at that spot.
Michael Silver, been reading him for a while and watching him on TV, does a great job covering the NFL, and he's with the San Francisco Chronicle right now, and his writing on Ayuk has been very informative and the best that we found. So thanks so much, Mike, for coming out with us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great three-day extravaganza, and I hope it's fun.
It will. Thank you. Mike Silver. All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.